So, what I wanted to do this morning, we're just going to conclude. I have a message for all of us, and if you're taking notes today, the title of my mission, the title of my message is "The Mission of God: Called to Go, Sent to Love." Called to go, sent to love. Now, the ultimate missionary sent from heaven, as we all know, was Jesus Christ. He was the first and ultimate missionary. He was sent from heaven by the Father. He came to seek and save the lost and to reconcile humanity to God. Amen. And to establish the kingdom on earth. His incarnation, ministry, death, and resurrection formed the foundation of all missionary work. See, Jesus didn't just model the mission, he commissioned it. He said in John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now, missionary work in Scripture is not a side project. Just understand that. It's central to God's redemptive plan. From Genesis to Revelation, we see God pursuing people, calling them to himself, and sending them out to proclaim his glory. Key examples here are Jesus himself, who was the ultimate missionary, sent to bring salvation to the world. And then we have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This is a real good example of one-on-one type ministry and missionary work. I don't have the scriptures. I'm not able to put them up, but you got it? Oh, put it up there, Brandon. Wonderful. Do you have it?
At least I thought I did.
Well, yep, we're looking at Acts 8:26-40, Brandon. That's the... should take up one slide. Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to just continue on, and if Brandon can find that scripture, that'd be great. But it's Acts 8:26-40, and I'll just give you a summary of it. It's a powerful example, like I said, a personal evangelist. Oh, there we go. Thank you, my dear. You're a wonderful. The passage tells the story of Philip being led by the Spirit to meet an Ethiopian official reading Isaiah. So Philip, one of the early church leaders, is instructed by an angel of the Lord to go south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. There he encounters an Ethiopian eunuch, a high official in charge of the treasury of Cadmus, Queen Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who's returning from worshiping in Jerusalem. The eunuch is reading from the book of Isaiah, but doesn't understand the meaning. The Holy Spirit prompts Philip to approach the chariot, and Philip asks if he understands what he's reading, and the eunuch replies, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" That's Acts 31 there. Philip joins him and explains that passage refers to Jesus Christ. Moved by the message, the eunuch sees water and asks, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Philip baptizes him, and immediately after, the Spirit of the Lord carries Philip away, and the eunuch continues on his journey, rejoicing. So the modern connection here is missionary work begins with listening. Today, God still prompts believers sometimes to go overseas, sometimes to walk across the street, whether it's a nudge to speak to a coworker, volunteer in a local ministry, or move to another country. The Spirit still leads. The question is, are we listening and willing to obey? Other missionaries in biblical times, Paul, he was, you know, Paul's stories, we have many gospels, on many scriptures and many passages from Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he headed up. He was a tireless church planner who spread the gospel across regions. He mentored leaders and endured persecution. There was Priscilla and Aquila, everyday believers who lived missionally in their home and workplace. And then there was the church in Antioch in Acts 13, 1 through 3. That should be the next slide, Brandon. They prayed, they fasted, and they sent missionaries, showing the local church's vital role in global missions. Acts 13, 1 through 3 says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." See, missionary work wasn't just reserved for apostles or church leaders. It was a calling of every believer. And the early church thrived because ordinary Christians lived out their faith in the marketplace, in their homes, and on the streets. Now, missionary work, as you can see, isn't confined to overseas trips or full-time ministry roles, or you don't need to have a passport. So missionary work, if you look at it, it's really a lifestyle. Whether you're a student, whether you're a barista at Starbucks, whether you're a plumber, executive, businessman, stay-at-home mom, you're called to make disciples right where you are. Right where you are today, no matter where you are, this is where God has planted you. There's no full-time ministry. There's no part-time ministry. Everything we do, and if you're taking notes, everything we do is full-time living like Jesus. Everything we do is full-time living like Jesus. And the goal or the mission of that happens in homes, workplaces, schools, neighborhoods, and communities. What matters most is a heart obedient to God, open to sharing His love, whether by praying, giving, serving, or going. Every believer can live a missionary life and make a kingdom impact. Praying, giving, serving, or going. And one of the things I have learned is we serve the Lord, okay? Everybody with me so far? We serve the Lord, but we don't do things for the Lord. Everybody says, I'm doing this for the Lord. We serve from the Lord. We serve people from the Lord. Understand what I'm saying? We're not doing any, we don't have to do things for the Lord. He expects us to serve people from Him. Does that make sense, everybody? So it's not like, well, I'm doing this for the Lord and I'm going to get another jewel in my crown. Because you're going to give that crown up anyway when you stand before Him, if you can stand. I think I'm going to be flat on my face and not able to stand before the Lord. But what I'm saying is, we serve the Lord and we do things from the Lord for others, because that's what He asked us to do. That's what He commanded us to do. He commanded us to love Him and to love others, and we serve others from God. Amen? All right. Now, the Great Commission is really our shared calling. Jesus' final words to His disciples were a charge to all believers. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's Matthew 28, 18, 20. And verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, this wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And it came with a promise. He said, "Surely I am always with you. Amen. Earlier, Jesus declared the mission success in Matthew 24:14, when he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." See, God still calls today, and he's still at work today. He's calling men and women to serve the church and the kingdom. He moves in the lives of people in diverse ways to fulfill his redemptive purpose. Discerning a call to missions begins with recognizing that every Christian called to participate in God's mission. Every Christian is called to participate in God's mission. In 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 says this, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Therefore, and Bob, thank you for your conversation this morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself to us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, while Scripture doesn't really speak of a specific call to missions, it consistently calls believers to salvation, to holiness, peace, and service. Salvation, holiness, and peace, and service. That's what we are called to as believers. And the Apostle Paul urges believers in Ephesians 4:1 to what? Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's how we reach others, by living out our faith and our salvation to the glory of God. That's why we do things from the Lord for others. It's for the glory of God and nothing else. But there still are those that are unreached, which is a global challenge. Now, I'm going to give you some metrics here. According to the Joshua Project, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute, but he says the need is urgent. There's 17,415 people groups in the world today. There's 7,295 unreached groups in the world today, which total 3.56 billion people. That's how many people are unreached, 3.56 billion. And then we're going to talk about the 1040 window. Now, I gave you all two sheets of the 1040 window so that you can see that. This region stretches across North America, the Middle East, and Asia, and it's home to 5.4 billion people with 3.545 billion unreached. So it has 5.4 billion people, but there's 3.545 billion unreached. There's 8,000 plus people groups in that area. 6,058 are unreached. And the top countries, now you'll see in your second sheet there all the countries, but the top countries are India. Guess who's there? Moses Chidari. China, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Pakistan, Nigeria, Iran, Japan, Turkey, and Afghanistan. Now, in each one of those, in India, there's 1.39 billion people that have yet to be reached. In China, there's 700 million that are unreached. In Bangladesh, 170 million. Indonesia, 180 million. Pakistan, 150 million. Nigeria, 120 million. Iran, 88 million. Japan, 123 million. Turkey, 60 million. So you see that there are still unreached people We haven't gone to all the ends of the earth yet. There are still unreached areas in the world today. This area is usually called the resistance belt, where social, religious, and political climates make traditional missions difficult. So you have to use creative, prayerful, and strategic efforts. They are essential. Well, what is the 1040 window? It's a term used to describe a region of the world that stretches from West Africa to East Asia, from 10 degrees latitude north to 40 degrees latitude north. This area encompasses some of the poorest and most undeveloped countries in the world and is also home to the majority of the world's unreached people groups. Now, why is it significant? Because it is home to the unreached people groups who have not yet had the opportunity to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Who are the unreached people groups? They're diverse ethnic groups, tribes, and religions. Many of them live in extreme poverty. They lack access to education, health care, and basic necessities. The main challenges in reaching the unreached: lack of access to education, health care, cultural and language barriers, and limited access to traditional forms of media. How do we reach them? Well, the window requires a holistic approach that addresses not just spiritual needs, but also physical and social needs, utilizing technology and social media, and being sensitive to cultural differences and building relationships with the people in these communities. Now, the Joshua Project, this was founded in 1995 through AD 2000 and Beyond movement. It was a movement where they actually have data, and it provides a global database of people groups to help the church prioritize prayer and outreach. Their vision is a church for every people and the gospel for every person. They track what God is doing among the unreached peoples and empower the body of Christ to focus its efforts where the need is greatest. And one of the things that Paul and I talked a little bit about is one of the things that you have to understand about the 1040 window, and Paula has run into this because of her background, you have to understand that they live in what they call an oral culture, okay? And years ago, you know, in the first century, Jesus used stories. He used storytelling. He preached the gospel through stories. He had a story to tell, and that's how they prefer to be, to learn, and they prefer stories and proverbs and songs and drama to convey meaning. So those coaches, they value relational communication, repetition, and communal learning. So the literacy rates over there are very, very low, but cultural memory and storytelling traditions are rich and deeply rooted. And the mission strategies are using storytelling and the arts. That's where Paula was key and is key in the students and the people that she ministers to. She says she uses artwork to tell your story. And so they live in what they call an oral culture. And they use Bible storying. That method presents the Bible as a series of connected stories from Genesis to Revelation. They use drama, they use theater, live performances that reenact biblical stories, they use music and song, visual arts, and digital media, and of course, cultural sensitivity and impact. Missionaries must be deeply respectful of the local customs and languages and artistic expressions. And those regions are where the access to the gospel is so limited, but storytelling and the arts are not just tools. They are bridges, and they've allowed the message of Jesus to be heard, to be understood, and embraced in ways that honor the beauty and depth of those people over there. So, very interesting, and I talked to Paula in depth about that, and she understands that, and she is always sensitive to those folks and to the people that she ministers to. So, you know, the truth about ministry is this. Supporting missionaries is vital. That card that you got today, it's very vital because the vital part of advancing the gospel, especially among unreached peoples where the need is greatest, their work helps the body of Christ strategically focus its efforts and witness what God is doing across the globe. But this mission is not theirs alone. We are called, every believer, in every place, at every moment. And like I stated earlier, there's no full-time ministry, there's no part-time ministry. Every aspect of life is full-time living like Jesus and being and making disciples. Ministry isn't confined to a title or a time slot. It's a lifestyle. Just as the early church spread the gospel through everyday believers, living out their faith in the marketplace, we too are sent into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and communities to make disciples and reflect the love of Christ. And just remember, there's no sacred or secular divide. I used to think that because I was in the military, well, I have a secular job, and I am a Christian. But the Lord told me there is no divide there. I put you there. I trained you, and I put you there. That's your mission field. You order those Marines to go to church. I ordered one of my staff sergeants, said, you need to get saved. And as a matter of fact, we still communicate today. He called me. He's a master gunnery sergeant, retired. He goes, yeah, Maria, I know. I need to get saved. I said, you're not saved yet. I said, don't make me come up there. Don't make me come up there. But anyway, he was a great Marine, great staff NCO, just loyal and loved his troops, and he was wonderful. Just wonderful. But I try, as you grow in the Lord, you learn that your life is not, you can't compartmentalize your life. Everything is ministry. Everything is, and there's no separation. Wherever God has put you is where he wants you. That's your missionary field. That's your place to minister. Again, no secular divide. Whether we support those who go or we go ourselves, the mission remains the same, living for the glory of God and sharing his truth with the world, whether that's across the street, in your community, across the world. We are all part of the Great Commission. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being part of your mission. You have called each of us, whether near or far, to be your witnesses, to make disciples, and to live for your glory. We lift up those who have gone to the ends of the earth to reach the unreached. Strengthen them, protect them, and let your spirit guide their every step. And Lord, remind us that the mission field is not only across the ocean, it's across the street, in our workplaces, in our homes. Help us, Lord, to live with purpose, to see every moment as ministry, and to reflect the love of Christ in all we do. Break down the walls between the sacred and the secular, and let our lives be a continuous offering to you. Empower us to support, to go, to pray, and to give. Whatever you ask of us, may we be faithful to your calling and to the calling that you've placed on our lives. And may your name be glorified in every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 Amen.